This is New England Public Media. A bunch of Massachusetts officials are headed to D.C. for jobs in the Biden administration. Will this ultimately help the state? I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. As we do most Mondays, we've got Matt Murphy from the State House News Service on the line. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Carrie.
State Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollack's headed to D.C. for a top position in the Biden Highway Administration, and Boston Mayor Marty Walsh is slated to lead the Labor Department. Do you get the sense Republican Governor Charlie Baker will be able to use those Bay State connections, among others, to his advantage and maybe more easily get what the state needs from the feds?
Well, it certainly can't hurt. I think we heard the governor say last week, with the announcement that Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollack would be leaving for the Federal Highway Administration, that, you know, he expects her to behave like a good public servant and not show any prejudice towards her former state or her former agency. But I think especially as a new administration takes control, this gives the governor already established relationships within the new Biden administration. And especially in the case of Pollack, she has a familiarity with a lot of the transportation highway projects going on in Massachusetts. So as they come up for federal funding, she understands what they need. She understands their importance to the region. And perhaps with a little cajoling from the state, can free up some federal dollars to help move these projects along.
Speaking of the governor, today the overnight stay-at-home advisory put into place in November is lifted. He also ended that 9:30 nightly business closing time, but is continuing to enforce that 25% capacity limit. Now, with state health officials tracking new cases of that more contagious virus strain, how is Baker justifying that rollback?
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly people who think these restrictions should stay in place, perhaps. They should go even further. But the governor always intended these to be temporary. They were put in place largely to guard against a really severe surge during the holidays, during the Christmas, New Year's holidays. A bunch of these went in place the day after Christmas. The governor says the numbers have shown a leveling out in the surge of cases that Massachusetts was seeing, particularly post-holidays. So they feel that they're over that holiday bump, which is why you're seeing the governor roll back some of these. But I think keeping in place the 25% restriction on capacity across the board is a nod to the fact that we're still seeing thousands of new positive cases identified every day, dozens of new deaths, and the state by no means has total control over the spread of this virus yet.
And yesterday, the Boston Globe had a front page report showing how the state is well behind other states in New England on vaccination rates and also for nursing home residents and staff. Has the governor acknowledged that the vaccine rollout has been rocky here?
Yeah, he's used terms like bumpy and lumpy at times to describe the rollout. He has pointed the finger in a lot of cases to the uncertainty the state has with regard to how much vaccine it gets from a week-to-week basis. He has suggested that the federal government has made it difficult to plan long-term for the state. But we're also starting to hear some concerns from state leaders, including Senate President Karen Spilka over the weekend, about the governor's phased approach to vaccine distribution, suggesting that it's confusing. People don't know what to expect, when they might be eligible, or even who or where to go or call to get information. So I think we will look this week to see if the governor has anything more to say about what phase two of his plan will look like and if there will be any modifications.
And finally, the governor delivers his annual State of the Commonwealth address tomorrow night ahead of filing his 2022 budget proposal expected Wednesday. Have you gotten any early reactions from lawmakers about that budget plan after some of those numbers were released last week?
A bit of a wait and see. People want to see more of the details. Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito teasing last week to municipal officials that local aid would increase. This is unrestricted local aid would increase by about $36 million. That's a 3.5% increase, consistent with what they're projecting for state tax revenues. So in some respects, this is a good sign because it's a return to normal for the governor. He routinely aligns growth in tax revenue projections with his budget allocation for local aid. He also told the MMA that he will fully fund the Student Opportunity Act, this major education funding reform that was passed in late 2019, but was sort of paused during the pandemic year of 2020. But lawmakers, officials, education leaders, still waiting to see the actual dollar numbers attached to that full funding pledge from the governor. So more details to come, as you said, Tuesday night in the governor's State of the State, and Wednesday when he files that budget.
Matt Murphy is a reporter with the Statehouse News Service in Boston. Matt, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the Statehouse. You can subscribe to this podcast and others from NEPM at our website. That's nepm.org/podcast hub. This is New England Public Media.